You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You just heard about Twitch, three easy ways to listen, especially if you're on the go. In the car, it's obviously ESPN 1000, that's AM 1000. And then now available on FM, it's 100.3 HD2. HD radio has been around for about 20 years. You probably have it in your car. Check 100.3, then scroll up one click, and you'll get 100.3 HD2. Crystal clear HD sound. Check us out there. And, of course, download that ESPN Chicago app. We just dropped a brand new Crosstalk Unhinged. It's on our page. It's on the Carmen and Yurko page. If you haven't listened to it, download it. It's exclusively available on that app. This isn't anything that airs. This is uncensored. It's Crosstalk Unhinged. And there are many, many funny stories this week about Yurko and a fax machine and some craziness. There's a lot of chop busting, if you will. There's a weird way that Carmen got dirty, and then he got undirty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun.
The Yurko stories are usually the best because you learn something about him every time.
Yes. And there's some sports talk in there, but it's about 30 minutes, commercial-free. You're in and out quickly. It's Carmen and Yurko. It's Waddle and me. And you can listen live on that ESPN Chicago app to our shows or all your favorite shows, or download any of the podcasts, including the exclusive podcast like Crosstalk Unhinged, and a shout out to Danny Zetterman and his Armchair Nutritionist podcast. That's very good as well. All right, let's get into some of these records, and I want to play you this first. Let's get to the Waddle rant. Can we call this? I forget if I was talking about if this was the Bears term I used last year. I've used it recently, and I think this is a way to describe your feelings about the circle of suck. Would you call this the circle of suck?
The circle of suck.
That's what I'm titling your rant from yesterday. And the description, it's a description of
circular ineptitude.
I think the circle of suck
sounds better. That's fine, but I'm describing your circle of suck would be described as circular ineptitude. Consistent circular ineptitude.
And while we're all excited about Justin Fields, when Dan Wiederer was on the show yesterday, it reminded Waddle about the lack of, who knows, maybe accountability, the lack of a concrete plan on what this coaching staff and general manager need to do to keep their jobs. And it got him a little angry.
These conversations, and this is not directed at you, Dan, these conversations about the lack of communication between the coaching and the general manager in the front office, and the concept that a group would allow the same crew to pick the next quarterback when the beef from the coach is that the previous quarterback wasn't my selection. So if you fire him at the end of this year, you're bringing in another coach to coach a guy that wasn't his pick. Like, the circular idiocy of even having this conversation, and again, it's not directed at you, is dizzying and nauseating, because if you have a scintilla of a lack of trust in the people that you have chosen to make these decisions, you don't let them make the decisions again. So if you had questions about them going into this draft, you should have fired their asses before the draft took place.
But maybe they don't get Fields then. I'm with you. Everything you say makes sense, but at least they got Fields, right?
Well, you say that, but the next coach they hire may not have picked Fields. It may not have been his guy. He may be your guy, but it may not be the next coach's guy. And now you found yourself in the same dilemma you had now with Mitch.
I think that describes a circle of suck.
Okay.
You pick a quarterback, you pick the coach, you don't tell the coach. The coach then doesn't care about his development. He cares about winning games. That coach is fired. You bring a new coach because you need to get a coach you specifically need to train Mitch. We need someone who believes in Mitch. That limits our field. Nagy believes in
Mitch.
See,
you're getting angry about it too?
No, I'm just describing this. And then all of a sudden, he accepted the job because he did believe in Mitch, but then he really got a closer look at Mitch, and he's like, oh, crap.
He's accepted the job because it's the Bears, and there's 32 of these as well. So, I mean, like.
So then Mitch is out, but Nagy's still here, and then they draft the new quarterback, but then Nagy may not be here, but Nagy led the quarterback scouting.
Let me revisit this.
And then you're
going
to have to go back to hiring a coach who believes in Fields.
And before we get to the prediction of records, it is exhausting because I ask, do you believe that George and Ted knew or felt that there was a good possibility that a quarterback, if things fell a certain way, that there was a chance that the Bears were going to draft a quarterback in the first round? They could have even moved up from 20 or moved up in the second round back into the first round to take a guy. Like, there were a 1,000 options.
Sure.
I didn't think they were going to have the capacity to move up high enough to draft one of the top five guys.
But your thing was always, you've trusted them to this point. Now you've got to trust them to do anything they want to do.
No doubt. So my point is, so the owner and the president of football ops, they know that selecting a quarterback is very likely or possible. Let's say very possible in the first round. And it may take some maneuvering to do so. If you don't know about your football guys leading into this draft, why on God's green earth would you allow them to draft a quarterback who may be playing for a different staff? If, in fact, you don't like these guys or you have questions about them and you're ultimately going to fire them. If you have any question at all about their capacity to identify the next quarterback is going to lead you out of the woods, then you fire them prior to the draft. You don't give them another bite at the apple at the most important position in sports. It's the reason why I don't buy what everyone else is saying, that this is a win or else year. How can that be?
Because they're not smart up there.
That's true.
That's the thing. It goes back to the, like you said, Sylvie, you're talking like they've
you
got common sense.
You're right. That's an argument that I use for myself. And it's what's frustrating me, because if in fact they do that, it's just like, I mean, you can't run your business that way.
Yeah,
you just can't do it. If you don't trust your guys implicitly to make the right decision, which could be the most important decision for the next 5 years, the drafting of Mitch Trubisky, it reverberates for 5 years. Did it not?
Of course. And this one will go too.
It'll reverberate for longer because he had the opportunity to draft Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Now, the Watson thing, how that unfolded is different. But from a football perspective, that decision to draft Mitch, I said 5 years, will reverberate maybe indefinitely. Hopefully that reverberation will be muted by the development of Justin Fields.
Right.
But you can't let the same guys take another bite at the quarterback apple if you don't believe in them. So for everyone who's like, hey, you know, I don't know what George's and Ted's, you know, what their measure of or their grading scale for success or you guys keeping your jobs. Like, if there's any question at all, you should have moved prior.
Yeah.
You should have made a move prior to the draft.
I'm hoping that this is Bowles history revisited.
That you got fortunate.
Not for the exact reasons. And let me give you a little history. 1979, the Bulls had a chance to have the first pick in the draft. And they lost a coin flip to the Lakers. The Lakers, with the number one pick, took Magic Johnson. So it wasn't that the Bulls didn't draft Magic like Ryan Pace didn't draft Mahomes.
Right.
They just lost a coin flip, and it's like, oh my God, we lost this generational guy. We got David Greenwood instead, who is just a guy with the number two overall pick. And I was growing up watching the Showtime Lakers. I'm like, we could have had them. The reason we don't have them was over a coin flip. 5 years later, the Bulls, thanks to two other teams allowing Michael to go past them, drafted Michael. Again, it's not apples to apples because I'm not telling you I'm not saying Justin Fields is Michael Jordan.
No,
I'm not saying that or will be better than Patrick Mahomes. But I'm saying, just like it was when you drafted Mitch Trubisky in 17, 4 years later now, hopefully you'll sit here and you'll say,
You found your way out of the forest in an unexpected manner. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not making a judgment at all about what Justin Fields will be, because they've got a chance. They got another bite at the apple, and they very well could have gotten this one right. Here's hoping that they do.
Yeah.
I'm just talking
here forever.
Well, that's what my point is. This is what I'm saying to all of the folks out there that think this is a win or else year for the Bears. If I connect the dots, but again, as you said, I'm trying to use common sense, and that that's not always the same path that's followed up there at times. So,
all right, let's get to this win total. They went through, and this is going to be talked about for
USA Today.
Yeah, this is going to be talked about for 6 weeks. I mean, we're gonna talk about it all the time. When we last did this drill, what did you have them at?
I think I had them at 8 and 9. Did I not? I think somewhere there, 8 and 9, 9 and 8. I did not have them as winning the division.
See, I had them at 10 and 7 after the Justin Fields draft and because of the Aaron Rodgers news. I would like to amend that and take a couple steps back. The ball hasn't
been kicked off yet.
It's a workshop, yeah. Right? We're workshopping this thing. So USA, this is USA Today. How did they do this with a computer, with computer simulations?
I don't know.
Did they take Bob Nightingale off the baseball beat, and did he like pick all the records? How did they decide at USA Today?
I don't think we have any. We don't have any clarification on that.
So they have the Bears at 7 and 10.
They have the Packers at 12 and 5, the Vikings at 10 and 7, and the Lions at 3 and 14.
And they have the Vikings making the playoffs via the wild card.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Adam had said this to us in the past, USA Today is not very optimistic about the Bears consistently, correct?
No, I think they've had them at like 4 wins the past couple of years. Like, they don't, first of all, the reason we don't know is because it's behind a paywall, stupid USA Today.
Okay.
So this is just a graphic. But they're usually very down on the Bears.
You know who I'm surprised that they're down on? The Rams. They have a 10 and 7. A lot of people think that the Rams are going to be super good. The Seahawks, they have at 9 and 8.
All very subjective.
They have the Browns at 13 and 4.
Listen, there's a ton of Browns love.
And the best record, who do you think, did you look, who has the best record according to USA Today in the entire league?
I would have said the Bucks.
They have the Bucks at 14 and 3.
The Bucks are the defending champs, coming back pretty much intact.
Yes. And maybe the chemistry now is better than the first half.
The Browns are getting a lot of love. They're a sexy team for people this year. I believe they won a playoff game last year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, there's a lot of love for the defense.
They have the Steelers at 7 and 10.
I think this is going to be a bad year for the Steelers, too. If they're relying on Ben, like, I thought at the end of the year you could see Father Time had not been kind to Ben.
How about this? Along with the Lions at 3 and 14. Who do you think is the other team with the same exact worst record?
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah, it's the Eagles.
Are you surprised by that?
Not really.
The Eagles at 3 and 14. Where do they have the Colts? Who have
Colts
Wentz
are 9
now?
And 8.
9 and 8. So they have the division winners, the Chiefs out of the West, the Browns out of the North, the Titans out of the South, the Bills out of the East. In the NFC, it's the Niners out of the West.
Well, there's no way the Niners.
Who is quarterback?
Don't know yet.
I mean,
probably Jimmy G to start, and then I don't know. The Niners, again, I know Cap loves to dump on them, but the Niners last year, I think, lost 22 starters, guys that were starters. They lost 22 guys injury. They still won 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised that going into the season, if they're predicting that they're going to be healthy, which you would predict every team more than likely to be healthy, unless it's the Saints who have had some injuries already. I'm not surprised they've got the 49ers. I would say once again that the NFC West would be the most difficult conference or the most difficult division in the NFC.
Yeah, they had the Cardinals at 7 and 10 and last.
And I would say I think that they're right about the AFC West. I would suggest to you that the West may be the most competitive division in the AFC.
They had the Chargers with a winning record under a first year coach at 11 and 6. The Broncos and Raiders both at 8 and 9.
There's a lot of love, obviously, for their young quarterback, Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah, he's great. 312-332-3776 is our phone number, and there's got to be changes, right, to our hockey team in town. The Blackhawks have got to make a big change.
You would think it would be on the horizon.
In the wake of all the news, we will share that with you coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, if you haven't been tuned into the story going on with the Blackhawks from 2010... there was another turn in this with the amended lawsuits.
Every story is more disturbing than
the previous one. And you should read the article. The Sun-Times did a really good job with this. Ben Pope on that beat. And very, very descriptive. And there are two former players who are suing the Blackhawks over non-consensual sexual activities with their former video coach. His name is Brad Aldridge. And he left the team soon after they won the cup this year. This allegedly happened in May of 2010. This is in the middle of the postseason of them trying to win their first cup since 1961 when all this happened. The players went to one of the coaches, a guy who at the time, who in his previous career worked in law enforcement, so they trusted him. And he knew what to do, and he went and called a meeting with all the Blackhawks higher-ups, the front office, with McDonough, with Al McIsaac, with Stan Bowman, and told them that they needed to go to police and report this, that this needs to be reported, that that's the chain of command here. And the Blackhawks, as an organization, chose not to do this. And then, so Aldridge at the end of the year parts ways with the Hawks, and they kept it hush-hush. But in later jobs, they gave him a letter of recommendation when they knew this had happened or allegedly happened. Didn't report it, and then they give him a letter of recommendation. There was stuff that allegedly happened when he coached at Ohio.
Was that Miami of Ohio? Was
Miami
there?
Of Ohio. Yeah. The stuff is coming out now that he was in and out of that job very, very quickly. And even worse is then later he coached high school in Michigan, and he ended up being convicted of crimes. And he is on the list now. Is he not, as a sexual predator?
I believe he is.
In Michigan, and served jail time.
Yeah, this story is, I mean, to really understand the depths of the how disturbing it is, you have to read the detailed accounts of all of this. I know that they've hired Jenner and Block, a law firm, to do an investigation, right? And I believe Stan spoke recently and said, look, I have nothing to add right now. The investigation is underway. This isn't the time to do it. There will be a time to talk.
And he is participating in it, but there's been talk about is everyone involved going to be interviewed for this? And I don't know if – I don't think everyone is. And again, this is commissioned by the team, and it's commissioned backed by the league. And is the truth going to come out? And I had a couple thoughts on this. First of all, I hope they don't just use John McDonough as the scapegoat. That from what I hear, they didn't get rid of John McDonough over this. He was the president. He was the man in charge. And I could see where in a couple of months or whenever this concludes that they say, look, the president was at fault. But there are many, many important figures who were in on those meetings then who are in high-powered positions now, like Stan Bowman and Al McIsaac. And I think the Blackhawks, who are trying to do a lot of good things under different leadership these days, they need to
separate themselves from people that were there.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I can't imagine if this thing continues and the reporting continues on the path that we've seen recently and these facts remain in evidence and new facts are discovered as well. I can't imagine that there won't be people that ultimately are removed from the positions that they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, these are hideous. These are hideous incidents.
Yeah, there are many things that happen in this world that you're like, you're confused by, but you try and say, how does something like that happen? This is something that I told you off the air, that for the life of me, I've never understood, is whenever, and I know there are pressures to win, but when you go to the level of the disturbance of this story, of the disturbing details of the Penn State story, of I just, about a year ago, whenever it came out, watched the story about the trainer for the Olympic gymnastics team who was working at Michigan State. Yeah. And the documentary is called Athlete A, and it is worth your time. And maybe with all this, you need to listen. They all have one thing in common, and that is that they all knew and they allowed the person who were committing these crimes to continue in the roles that they were in, even though they knew. And, like, I understand at some times in life where you may protect friends, but not in these instances. And when I read the Penn State thing years ago and to how so many people knew, and they allowed that to happen over football, like, that, it blows my mind. Or this story, or the Athlete A story in Michigan State and the U.S. gymnastics team, that these people turned a blind eye when they knew how. You can never explain it to me, and you can never rationalize, well, you needed to win your first cup, Sylvie, since 1961, and the Blackhawks didn't want any sort of drama. Come on, this is real life stuff.
This is more important than a Stanley Cup championship.
This is real life stuff.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
No, it is awful. The story is one of the more awful things that you'll read. I mean, there are a lot of awful stories out there. But again, I find it hard to believe when we come to this, when they come to this conclusion, when this investigation is concluded and there's finally some decisions to be made. I just don't know how, based on what I've read so far, that there won't be changes.
And the Hawks have tried to have this lawsuit dropped by claiming statute of limitations,
I believe,
correct?
So, yes, because, like, this happened back in 2010.
With regard to them. It's such a bad look.
Yeah.
Like, that this was ignored then, and even though it's 11 years later, and this, a lot of the same people are still in the powerful positions, that shouldn't matter.
I agree with you.
I know that that's probably what their legal counsel's saying, that they're trying to get out of it in any way. But when you look at yourself in the mirror as being a top franchise the way it's run, or just a top person, like, how could you look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, well, you know what? That happened 11 years ago, and it should all be dropped.
Yeah, I mean, as a human being.
Yeah.
Regardless, take your affiliation with whatever it is you're affiliated with, whether it's a major U.S. company, it's a sports franchise, whatever it is. And you just, I'm with you. It just doesn't make any sense. It's a horrible story. But I give everybody who has been researching this and won't let it go, I give them a lot of credit.
Right, right.
This is an uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people, I'm sure.
Right.
But, you know, it's a story that obviously needs to be told.
It absolutely 100% needs to be told. And I just, like, again, going back to McDonough, I think that's the easy out. Our president oversaw it. He ran the franchise with an iron fist. He told us to handle it this way. But again, I don't think that absolves other people who are around at that point.
I mean, is there a feeling that that's how this is all going to transpire? Is that's going to be the fall guy?
Like, how could you rationalize that it will be worked out the right way, considering that all this stuff happened?
Well, the right way is,
and they didn't even report it to police in 2010.
Let's just remove the names and just talk in vague terms. If you find out about this and you're in a position of authority and you don't act in any manner at all, that would, would be considered, you know, the correct management behavior, then how would you not be
right
up for being removed from your spot these years later?
Right.
All these years later.
And I think the Blackhawks lawyers also filed a motion where they said them not reporting it did not lead to the situations in Ohio and Michigan. But again, as a human being, how could you look yourself in the eye that you could have stopped it? You could have stopped it in its tracks and like, at least gotten the law involved, and you let it go and you let other cases happen.
How can you know the facts of this story and then write a recommendation for another job going forward?
Exactly. I know. So this
That's
is
crazy.
It's something to read. It's something to catch up on. And we will see the way the Blackhawks, and they are led now by new leadership. It's Rocky's son, Danny Wirtz, is leading the way. Jamie Faulkner's in there, who wasn't with the team, and she is a major impact. And they're doing a lot of good, but this is something that needs to be top priority right now. 312-332-3776 if you want to react. We've got Waddle's World coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Come on in. Water's warm. I may have peed in it.
Oh, no. Well, you don't pee in your pool, do you? You pee in your shower. You tell me you don't pee in your pool.
Have I before?
Oh,
I have.
No.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I don't do it. I don't do it consistently, but if I, you want me to be honest with you? You want me to lie to you?
It's not the ocean. It's your pool.
Well, there, I mean, there may have been a time when, like, I...
You were hammered? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. Does that mean you'll never swim in the pool again?
Well, the pool's shocked every Friday. When I go to...
Right, you're in the pool wherever you
the
go.
Public pool,
you think, yeah.
There's lots of pee in the pool. Right. So it would be ridiculous for me to say
have
no, I wouldn't swim.
Have you never peed in a pool, ever?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Okay, have you guys?
But not my own. Like, if I had one, I wouldn't do it. Or one that my kids are swimming in.
You'd pee in the municipal, the town pool.
I'm trying to think the last time I peed in a pool.
So instead of your pee being something that just you and your family have to deal with, you're making sure everyone in the community is having to deal with it. I get it. That's the kind of guy you
maybe
are.
Maybe at a hotel, so not necessarily the community.
Well, you're a hypocrite. You're a pool peeing hypocrite.
Damn it.
Right?
Probably.
Like, here's the deal. I'm not going to pee in your pool, but I may have tinkled in mine.
Right. We talked about it last week about that awful story about the guy who got eaten by the shark and killed.
Right, because he was going into the ocean to pee. When I'm in South
Carolina.
When
they told him not to, right.
When I'm in South Carolina, I went into the ocean probably 5 times when I was there this past July. I mean, June, whenever it was. And on every occasion, I went in and, like,
oh yeah,
I gave back to the earth.
Many times.
I gave back to the earth.
And Black brought it up. I think we're all on the same page with the ocean.
Have you ever peed in a pool, Adam?
Not in a pool, but in
lake. You've never peed in a pool?
Not that I know of. I mean, maybe when I was a youth, when I was little, when I was young, and I didn't know any better. And I'm wearing
but
those...
as an adult, you've never peed in a pool.
No, doing to others as they would be done to...
I peed in my own
crazy.
Pool.
The moment I touch the pool, it's like...
You'd feel the need
Yeah,
to
you just let go, man.
No, I've done it in... I've peed in lakes before.
Yep.
Oceans.
Let
seas,
me ask you guys a question.
The seven seas.
Like, didn't we do a story a long time ago? You have to be careful when you're in a lake or you're in the ocean, because you may... What you think is only going out may have something coming in, which you may not have in your own pool. Boom.
Yeah,
you don't want
the
parasite in your bladder.
But
in your wing ding.
If that's the case, then someone else
don't want in your wing ding.
Someone else's pee might be going in.
Let me ask you guys a weird question, and I'm sure I'm going to get hammered for even asking this question.
Well, then maybe don't do it. Write it down on a sheet of paper and pass it over to me.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Well, then you just advertised it as being.
I am. It's going to be weird. When you guys go into the ocean to pee, do you pull down your bathing suit or go right through your bathing suit?
Are you high?
So you're waist deep, and then you pull down your trunks?
Or at least open the trunks?
Why don't you just turn around to the entire beach and go, hey, everybody, I'm going to take a leak in the ocean.
No, you're under the water, though. That's the thing.
I've got a loose pickle here in the ocean. Here we go. What?
I've done it both ways. I pee right through my suit. And I could have a fish
come up to me. That's what the mesh is for. The mesh is to pee through.
When I peed in my own pool, I didn't take my suit off.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's pee in your...
If you're in a lake or an ocean or one of the many seas and you pull them down, aren't you worried about a fish?
Yeah, a fish.
Getting a little bite?
I mean,
maybe
an
eel?
Or some... Right. Or you may... You...
Getting a bite of that worm? Your night crawler?
I've done it both ways, but I think I have done it mostly through the bathing suit. But I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've wondered.
Yeah, that's not even. I'm just.
No, this
no,
is like.
Not,
since you're pulling down the trunks, you're not doing
pulling them down, like opening them up. You know, like there's usually the drawstring at top.
Yeah.
You like that.
Well, that's pulling. I mean, you've got to undo the drawstring to pull them down.
Yeah.
Or do you have a bathing suit that's got either a zipper or a fly?
You're right.
And Velcro
most
fly.
Of them don't have flies.
You're not. Be careful. That camera's above you now, looking down.
Don't pull anything open. Don't pull anything open that you don't want on Twitch.
My big old tummy.
You're not pulling it down and letting go of any floaties, are you?
Wait, what was that again?
No, you're not pooping in the ocean.
No, never, never.
All right, just making sure.
Have I mean, you?
No, but he's the one that said he pulled the trunks down.
I'm not dropping off any kids at the pool. Are you kidding me?
By the way, I don't believe I've ever gone number two outside of like an actual toilet or a portalette.
You've never gone in the woods?
Never gone in the woods. No.
What?
Never. In my pants.
You'll feel alive afterwards.
You know this. I've gambled and lost numerous times.
Breeze under there.
One time the
pick off a leaf and you know what?
You know I can go anywhere. But one time I was climbing my great grandma Bourne, not Jason Bourne, no relation to Jason Bourne, but her last name was Bourne.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying your first name is Bourne.
No.
Great grandma, who?
I forget her first name. My grandmother was Mary.
Okay.
Mary Hawkins. Mary Elizabeth Hawkins. They called her Liz. Like everyone in my whole entire lineage has a first name and everyone goes by their middle name.
They just ignore it.
It's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. But her mom had a farm in Owenton, Kentucky. And I still remember to this day, I was trying to climb a barbed wire fence. And it's where I got this scar on my leg. Look at that. Not only did I get this scar on my leg, I pooped my pants trying to climb the fence.
Of course you did.
I was like 7 years old.
Yeah. Like, you exert yourself, and then you cut yourself, and then you poop yourself.
So, and I'm stuck on the fence. I got to call my brother to come help me. I got poop in my pants, and I got blood going down my leg. Like, it's the most frightening experience of my entire life. I'm 54 years old. Look at that scar. That's a good scar.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those scars, too.
You've got a lot of weird scars. You got it on your chin. You got it on your belly. That weird spoon, that thing that was fixed with a spoon on your where is that? On your tummy? Where is that? Your stomach? Ugh, look at that. That's gross.
Yeah. You can almost lose a finger in there. But anyway, so you can imagine, I'm 6 or 7 years old. I'm stuck on a fence. I'm calling for my brother. I got poop in my shorts. And my leg is bleeding like a stuck pig.
What'd you clean up first?
I remember to this day throwing my underwear in the garbage can.
So you're just blatant. You chose to clean that up first.
Yeah, I chose to clean up the back door as opposed to cleaning my thigh first.
You got more blood.
Did you ever poop yourself after getting hit in a football game?
No,
ever. High school.
There's a good story
college.
About Bill Romanowski. I don't know if he's ever told it to us. I believe I forget which team he was playing for, where he had the flu and he made the first hit he made. He just relieved himself, and he had to go in and change his football pants.
Well, isn't like that how Mark Schlereth gets the nickname Stink?
No, Stink, I believe, got his nickname because I think he peed his pants, his game pants, and just, I think, played through it.
Was that the first thing you guys saw of last week? Do you remember in, what was it, game 5 in game 6 of the finals, Giannis came out and immediately asked to go to the bench like 3 minutes into the game, which was very... It was very unusual, and you say he had to tinkle, but the first thing when I was watching the game, the first thing I thought of is, oh, someone's got to go number two.
Yeah. Derek's done that before, and Derek's admitted it. Back when Derek was going well, he would get taken out and go right to the locker room, and he would always say it was to go because he had to go.
Yeah. You can believe whatever rumors you want to believe, but Paul Pierce pooped his pants.
Paul Pierce pooped.
He was in the wheelchair.
Paul Pierce pooped his pants. He was there wearing the whites. He pooped his pants.
Boy, that's such a bad look, though, to ask your teammates to carry you off the court. Just
they wheeled them off.
I know, because you pooped your gym shorts. Hey, Texas and Oklahoma could make their move to the SEC official in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, so what's going to happen to the Big 12 then?
It's going to be the Big 8, right?
Did it used to be the Big 8?
I saw an article.
Let's get Kansas in the Big 10 then for the basketball conference.
Well, hasn't Kansas beaten Texas more times than they've actually won the Big 12 conference? Like, there was some fact that I read that what it was saying was, is Texas couldn't even really dominate their own conference, and they're going to go to the SEC?
Yeah, it's all about money. They'll make more money. But yeah, you're right. Kansas has beaten Texas in the last you know, 15, 20 years, and Texas hasn't even won the Big 12 in that span.
How about this as well? ESPN reported yesterday that both Texas and Oklahoma would likely owe the Big 12 upward of $76 million apiece to buy out the remainder of the grant of media rights agreement, which runs through 2025. I'm with you, but it's just... And Texas was the team, we've said this a bunch, that I believe had the most lucrative television contract of any team in college football. I think that they were number one in terms of revenue. It's crazy.
All right, you know what time it is, Waddle. It's 3:45. That means it's time for a free ticket Friday. Every Friday going forward, second half of the baseball season, we're giving away free White Sox tickets on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We've got a game tonight, 6:30. I got a stat on that game, too, Waddle. You were talking about the pitching. Chuck Garfine, who's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, tweeted, White Sox Brewers will be the first three-game series in MLB history to feature five all-star starting pitchers from the current season.
Wow. It's
craziness, right? So we need caller 10 right now. You'll win White Sox tickets against Cleveland for the end of the month. Caller 10 at 312-332-3776. 45 past every hour. We'll do it again at 4:45. Then you'll have your last chance to win today at 5:45. It all starts again next Friday with Cap and Company at 7:45. Well, so be listening.
Yes, and when we come back, the nuttiest story of the day. And Florida or Ohio. That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office. Just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We have a winner and we have a...
A loser.
and I think a tweeter who described to us something that he had to.
Someone from Twitch. Donna from Glen Ellen is our winner. So congratulations to Donna.
Way to go, Donna.
She won those White Sox tickets. And our next chance to win is at 4:45. Make sure you store our phone number in your phone and make sure you're listening right at 4:45 so you know when to call and be caller 10. Every Friday through the rest of the baseball season, free ticket White Sox Friday on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000. One of my favorite Twitchers, Beck and John, maybe he'll be in the power rankings today, says, I once had to take an aqua dump up in the Chain of Lakes, but it was a total emergency, and I was on a pontoon boat in the middle of the lake with a bunch of people. I had no choice but to dive in, swim as far away as I could before I ran out of time. It's never happened before or since.
Did he let the other boaters know what he was doing?
That's a good question. It's a good follow-up.
Was this an undercover aqua dump, or was this a well-advertised?
This is why I love Twitch, because it's very interactive, as is most of the things you can watch the show and react in real time. Mm-hmm. twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Just wanted to let you know that the world's longest cornhole game is underway in Nebraska if you want to go and you participate.
I wish I was better. I've flirted with getting my own boards. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, I have them at the house if you want to borrow them.
You know who's really good at cornhole is Cap.
Is he really?
Really good. Yes, he is. He's really good, Black.
He said no surprise.
Yeah,
no,
oh, yeah. Oh, no surprise. Really? Why is that like a no surprise? Because it's
organizers of a world record attempt for the longest game of cornhole in Nebraska announced they met their goal on Friday and they're still going.
I want to investigate this, though. Why would that be no surprise?
Guinness World Record time to beat was 26 hours and 13 minutes.
With all the gym time and tattoo time, that there'd be no time to practice cornhole.
My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, honey, I just want you to know something.
If you want
You're
me
as
to...
stable Here. As anybody.
If you think about it.
Wait, what are you doing?
If you think about it, if you watch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So watch what I'm doing here, right?
With your phone.
I'm taking my phone.
Right.
And I'm bringing it up to my ear.
Oh,
I'm taking my phone and I'm looking at it.
Really? Oh, I never thought of that.
That muscle right here for Cap, super toned.
super toned right there.
That's
an excellent point.
Friedel came over last week. I talked Cap into, he came by too. I talked him into coming back and sitting in the back and having a beer with us. He chose not to have a beer. Nick and I did. And he sat on his phone the entire time out there.
Didn't talk to you guys?
He did, and like half the time it was him reading his text messages to us.
Well, who was texting him?
He brought up some old text messages, and then when Nick and I would converse, he'd be on his phone scrolling.
Wow, what a
share some of his greatest hits. Some of his greatest hits text messages, just bringing up old old messages, yes. just for fun.
The greatest hits text.
We've all been there, right? Sylvie, you know what I'm talking about.
Perfectly.
What does that have to do with anything?
Guess what time it is?
It is time for the nuttiest story of the day.
Brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
And today, it's Friday. Guess what?
Woo!
It's time for the Screwball Side Off. It's not time right now.
Oh,
but
okay.
At 5:50, when we sign off before Black and when you guys sign off before Black and Abdallah, when we all sign off before Black and Abdallah, and before White Sox baseball, it is time for the Screwball Sign Off. Not 50, not 100,
nope.
Not 150,
nope.
But $200 to Double J Sports Bar in Joliet. Don't call me now, because if you call me now, you have to pay me $200. Just saying, them's the rules.
It's in the rules. Not the Double Deuce. That's from Roadhouse.
Yeah,
the
Double J Bar in Joliet.
Yeah, let's do this.
I believe we've been there, too.
Okay. Fishers Police, that's Fishers, Indiana, identify the woman accused of defecating in yards. So apropos.
Well, this is perfect timing for this story.
Neighbors in the Windermere neighborhood say the woman carries her own TP but leaves her messes behind. Quote, we have her, we call her the pooper. We have lots of names for her. Said,
so she cleans up after her. She cleans up totally, herself, said, but not after herself.
Correct, said Angie Kylie in Fisher's Windermere neighborhood in Indiana. Kylie's talking about the woman recently caught on someone's doorbell camera going to the bathroom in a yard. Residents say it's happened last summer and it's happening again. We found her droppings in our yard. She carries her own toilet paper and she just leaves the toilet paper behind with her droppings. Miller
really?
Explained.
She puts the paper down too? Yep. Gross. She's got to bring a pooper scooper with her.
Last week or the week before, she did it 3 or 4 different yards down the street, every other yard.
Wow.
I've not personally witnessed the pooper, said resident Garrett Cupp. No one has. Neighbors know the signs even before the obvious one or two. The toilet paper is the calling card.
Oh, gross.
That's the nuttiest
story. That is nutty, yeah. The Screwball sign-off again. At what time? Around 5:50?
Around 5:50. Don't call now. You owe me $200.
Right.
Do you have a good Florida Ohio story or want to skip it?
I got a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Wow. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bath and Body Works thief used bear mace on mall patrons.
Wow.
Bath and Body Works.
A portion of the mall had to be evacuated. A man stole candles from a mall store and sprayed dozens of patrons with bear mace repellent before escaping, police said.
Their products are good, though. I don't know about the candles, but their soaps are the best.
I thought you were talking about the bear mace.
Oh, no, no.
That sounds like something that would happen in Toledo.
The theft happened earlier this week at a Bath and Body Works store in a mall. The unidentified suspect entered the store, filled a bag with candles, and then started spraying people with mace.
This is definitely Florida. I've seen fights at Bath and Body Works in Arizona before. That's a crazy state, so I'm going to go Florida.
I'm going to go Toledo, Ohio.
Did they have the 20% off coupon?
You better.
Because that's the only time you ever see someone shopping.
It does not say.
All right, I'm going to go Ohio.
Police spokesman Ray Valdez said, this is an only in Miami story.
Wow.
You can't make this up.
That's awesome. There you go, Florida. All right, coming up next. You know, when we were talking about Mercedes and the weirdness of him retiring and then unretiring, this has happened before, and it's happened here before. I got to remind you, we're up in 2 short minutes.